Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deese Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and joining us for today's program, we have one of our physical therapists who will be talking about winter safety. Before we meet with Edison, I do have a few announcements I'd like to share with our listeners. The first one, very important. This is a safety recall notice on continuous glucose monitors from Abbott. So I want to make sure that we're sharing this. We've shared it on our social media channels. We definitely want to make sure our patients and community members are aware of this recent recall involving select continuous glucose monitoring devices, which have been manufactured by Abbott. Our team is actively working with our vendor to identify any patients who may be using the affected devices. Our diabetes educator, Amy McCullough, will personally follow up with any patients identified as potentially impacted. So if you use an Abbott CGM and have questions about whether your device is included in the recall, we encourage you to please reach out to your pharmacy or your primary care provider, or you can certainly call Amy McCullough, who is our diabetes educator. Her direct number is 515-832-7730. You may also go online and visit Abbott's official recall information page for the details, which will include the lot numbers that are affected. That page is www.freestylecheck.com. Your safety is our number one priority, and we will continue to share updates as appropriate. On to other announcements. I am very pleased to announce the Van Deese Medical Center Foundation is launching its annual giving campaign. This is an opportunity to invest in healthcare that impacts our communities directly. We celebrate the power of giving and what we can achieve together. Your support enhances our new orthopedic service line, which is launching next year in January. Every contribution is appreciated. Any amount helps to support the meaningful work we do. We will be launching the annual giving campaign on our website. Watch for information, vandeesemc.org, and you will also find information on our Van Deese Medical Center Facebook page. In other news and upcoming events, our December Seniors and Law Enforcement Together meeting, so the acronym for that is SALT, will be held tomorrow, Thursday, December 4th, at Trinity Lutheran Church here in Webster City. The event will be held in their newly remodeled social hall in the church and will begin at 9 o'clock. With coffee, we'll have a light breakfast and free blood pressure checks conducted by Van Deese Medical Center. The meeting will get underway at 9:30. We're going to begin with our program, and our program features beautiful music and sounds of the Christmas season provided by the Webster City High School Varsity Singers. We will do the actual meeting following the program, so that includes updates from local and county law enforcement officials, as well as reports from county agencies and communities and happenings throughout Hamilton County. SALT meetings are free and open to the public. All ages are encouraged and invited to attend. Again, plan to join us tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. You can enjoy some breakfast and then take in some beautiful music by our Webster City High School Varsity Singers. We certainly hope you will join us at Trinity Lutheran Church. Also, the Webster City Community Blood Drive for the month of December will be held next Thursday, December 11th, in the clinic boardroom at Van Deese Medical Center. It will be from 12:30 to 5:30. We encourage you to donate blood, give strength, and in return, you will receive a Scooter's cookie and a 20% off coupon that can be used towards a regular priced item in the gift shop. We do encourage appointments to be scheduled beforehand. You may go online to lifeservebloodcenter.org or call 1-800-287-4903. On this same day, you're going to want to come shopping at the gift shop, because it will be Christmas in the gift shop. Our auxiliary is doing an open house, so we certainly hope you'll celebrate the magic of the season with us. The gift shop will be open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. They'll be serving up some hot apple cider, some snacks, and additionally, they will have 20% off any one regular priced item. This does exclude their nut sales and their greeting cards. We want you to know purchases made support patient care needs of the hospital. You shop, they give. And it's a perfect time to renew your auxiliary membership if you haven't already, or if you'd like to join and become a member. It is $10 a year and again supports hospital needs. And with that, we're ready to get started into our program. Well, as you all know, looking outside, winter has arrived. And so are the challenges that come with icy sidewalks, heavy snow, and those surprise patches of black ice. So it's a perfect time to be talking about how to stay safe, prevent falls, and protect your back while clearing snow. Joining us for our program on winter safety is physical therapist Edison Weig with 21st Century Rehab at Van Deese Medical Center. Good morning, and thanks for being here, Edison.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a while since I've been on the program, so I'm glad to be back and share some information with all the listeners today.
So. Well, we are thrilled to have you, so thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Let's get started with the basics. Why do we see such an increase in slips, trips, and falls during the winter months?
Well, it would be easy to say, you know, we're experiencing inclement weather during that time period. You know, we're, like you said, we're experiencing snow, ice, all things that kind of increase people's fall risk when they're outside. But let's be honest, most of that time we're spending on the inside, right? So during in more closed environments, right? So having more of that exposure on the inside of the house, you know, it exposes us to things that we might not been experienced to in an outdoor environment. That means like rugs on the floor, cords on the ground, things that we would have otherwise overlooked in our indoor environment, right? So things like that. And also, we tend to be more sedentary during that time period, right? We like to sit on the couch, watch some Christmas movies. I'm guilty of that as well. But, you know, that just leads to some weakness in terms of our lower extremities, and that increases our risk of falls as well. So, yeah, all those things play a role into it. And all things that we address in physical therapy as well, we always take a look at the holistic side of things. So
very true. What types of injuries during this time are most common?
Yeah, so during this time in the hospital, we see more risk of hip fractures. Obviously, that's one of the most serious ones we do see. In addition, we do see a lot of back pain patients in the outpatient therapy clinic as well. We'll see more shoulder injuries, more foot injuries. So a variety relating to falls, but generally we'll also see people with just generalized weakness come in just because they're not able to move around. They're not able to get in and out of the couch, you know? So it's a multitude of things, but I would say probably the most that we see are those hip fractures, especially in the hospital setting, that's related to that increase in fall risk at that time, especially in the outdoor environments. And it's easy to take one wrong step, and that leads to that necessity to get that increase in care. So,
yeah. Yes, especially like you said, outdoor weather, there is reduced traction. People aren't used to being out walking on the snow and ice. I mean, let's face it, that was several months ago that we were doing that, and right. We didn't even have that much snow last winter. So this past weekend, we just got dumped upon. And mm-hmm. so people aren't quite used to finding their way, finding their balance. We know even a simple fall can cause some lingering pain. And we definitely want people to take note. We're going to be sharing some tips on our program for walking on the ice, and then even some prevention things that people can do as we stay indoors a little bit more, and to hopefully help reduce those falls. So let's talk who is most at risk. Are there groups of people who are more vulnerable to these kinds of injuries? As we know, this is probably true.
Yeah, so definitely is the case. You know, falling once doubles the risk of a secondary fall. And so a lot of people out there have fallen in the past. I've fallen in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, Lori's, but, you know, so definitely one thing everybody knows is as you age, you tend to lose some strength. So definitely in the older population, like people 65 years and older, for sure, one out of four older people every year fall, but less than 50% of the population reports that fall to their doctor. And in addition, 88% of emergency department visits for diagnosed hip fractures were from the result of falls as well. So yeah, there's that. And then there's also falls are the most common cause for traumatic brain injuries as well. So there's definitely the older population that comes into play with that. But yeah, I'd say just people that are more sedentary are more likely to have that risk of falls because they don't have that muscular base to work from. And so, you know, if we don't have that support underneath us, then we're just inherently more likely to have a fall at that point in time. But
it's true. It makes sense that we know as we age, muscle mass decreases, and then, you know, even balance, reaction time naturally is impacted too as we age.
Right. And then you just have people that are also impacted, whether they have things like diabetic neuropathy, they have lack of sensation to those areas, you know, they don't feel themselves tripping over that cord at home, right? So there's that just inherent risk. All things that you can control in a closed environment, but not things that we're thinking about when we're setting up the Christmas tree.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Very good point. So let's talk about some tips for walking on snow and ice. So this is getting into prevention a little bit, which is really important. What can people do to stay safe, in particular when walking on snow or ice?
Oh, goodness. You know, we've had such nice weather lately. You know, it's so easy to slip into things like Crocs and Hey Dudes and everything like that. But man, they are not the best for traction on the ground when it's this type of weather, right? So first and foremost, obviously pay attention to the weather forecast, you know, especially this week, it seems like it's gonna be pretty icy out there. So be aware of that, especially in the morning routine, maybe taking those slow extra few steps, you know, maybe using the railing when you're walking outside. If you don't have a railing, maybe that's the time when you really need to start thinking about putting a railing in outside. Mm-hmm. So that's all things that we can control. And then obviously footwear, that's the number two most important thing, making sure, you know, if it's time to bring out the winter boots, then it's definitely that time, because those just inherently have more traction than things like our Crocs, our Hey Dudes, our normal running shoes that are meant for those nicer conditions outside. But those are all things that we can control. And, you know, especially when walking on snow, you want to, or ice, you just want to be careful, maybe looking more towards the ground. So making sure your feet are in good position and everything like that. So that I know that snow and ice can cause some more uneven terrain than your normal sidewalk. So being aware of that and just taking your time really in the morning is super important, because that's when most of those falls happen, honestly, is during that. Or when it's not the best lighting outside, you know, so.
Yes, and you know, I hear you share this, Edison, and it's so true. These are things that we can control. I too am guilty of it. We need to allow for more time. in our schedule when we have snow and ice out there. And even the snow we have right now, we have had a lot of snow and it gets packed down. And so it just takes a little bit longer to, you know, get to the car, to get inside to where you're going. And we need to allow for that. And I've not been as great this week. It's been a little change for me to adjust. Right. But definitely too, like you said, the footwear is key. I noticed last weekend, I'll admit, I had some Birkenstocks on. They were covered, they were clogged Birkenstocks, but they too were not great shoes on newly fallen snow. And it's definitely time to get the boots out. So if you haven't already, make sure you do. We want to keep people safe. We didn't really touch upon it. We talked about walking slowly, but is there something to doing a little penguin walk?
I think honestly, the best thing is to actually widen your base of support a little bit. So mm-hmm. if you increase the amount of space between your feet, definitely take in shorter steps. There's something there with the penguin walk, but you know, people with penguin walk, they tend to point their toes out towards the side. I would actually say they just need to increase their step width in terms of the spacing in between their feet, so that way they have a wider base of support. So you can think of it kind of like a teeter-totter, you know, and so, you know, the more space that you have, the more level it's going to be, right?
Back so, and forth.
Yep. So, exactly. So that's why we try to increase that base of support, especially with anybody that we tree balance-wise. That's number one recommendation that we normally make, is trying to address our step width and decrease our step length.
Very good. See, that's a great visual for people, Edison, yes. Like that teeter-totter. Mm-hmm. Be thinking about that. Widen your base as you're walking. So what about spotting troubled areas? Anything Ooh. You want to share there?
Number one, in terms of making sure you're spotting those trouble areas, is making sure your driveways and your sidewalks are clear, obviously. So that means involving some shoveling going on, doing maybe some manual labor, or maybe recruiting the neighbor to get that done for you, right? It's always nice just to have that nice and cleared, so that way you know what you're seeing on the ground. I know that's not always possible, but try and do so as much as possible to decrease your risk of future falls. From there, additionally, you know, like I said, kind of use hand supports there. Try and scan on the ground a little bit more than you would, obviously, you know, and when the morning comes out and it's super bright out there, maybe it's harder to spot, you know, because mm-hmm. you get that reflection off the snow. So just taking your time is number one, obviously. And, you know, people that have that decreased sensation, that makes it harder, because then you have one less thing that you're relying on balance-wise, because our balance relies on our vision, or it relies on our sensation, and then our vestibular system, which people associate with like vertigo and that type mm-hmm. of thing, our position sense, right? So having that one less thing, you know, can make a major impact. So we have to really rely on our things that we do have, like our vision. So that means scanning a little bit more, taking our time, and then like we touched on earlier, just kind of increasing our step width will really help with those types of situations.
Yes. And again, it just makes me think too, Edison, like you mentioned earlier, use those handrails. If you're especially going up steps into, say, a business, and maybe you don't typically need to use those handrails, those steps can have some ice, some snow on them. Grab that handrail. Use that as extra support. I would encourage people to, you know, once they get indoors, if they're out and about, make sure you're you know, taking your boots, your shoes, rubbing them on rugs so that when you hit a particular floor, sometimes those can be slick. And we pay attention to our floors out here at the hospital. It just happens that snow gets brought in, it melts, and it can be slick. So we Right. just want people to really take precaution all the way around. Well, let's go right into snow shoveling technique. And a lot of people got some practice with this last weekend. It is another big winter task to do snow shoveling, also a big cause of injuries. So what do people need to know? What are some main tips that we can share?
Right, absolutely. And you know, this is one thing I have definitely certainly seen a lot more in my patients this week coming in with more back pain, you know, because they've been out and shoveling the driveway or whatever. They've been pushing the snowblower, whatever it is. And, you know, the number one thing I want people to know is that our backs were made to work as a hinge joint. And by that, I mean, like, you open a door, obviously it's a lever, right? It kind of rotates around that joint. And so our hips and our back work in unison, right? Our backs should always stay pretty parallel, should stay pretty well flat. And our hips are more mobile inherently because of the ball and socket joint than our back. So our hips should always be moving more than our back. Mm. Now, that's easier said than done because that involves some technique, right? But one thing that I want people that are experiencing some back pain with doing some shoveling is try and use your legs a little bit more and trying to work more on keeping your back nice and sturdy, nice and stiff. So that means when you're going and you're shoveling, that means you stick it into the ground, right? You have the one arm kind of locked right next to your hip, maybe the other arm slightly forward in front of you, and then you have this nice little forward bend, but you keep your back nice and sturdy and stiff. It's nice and straight, nice and lined up, but you're bending more with your hips at that time, and then you lift up with your butt and your legs versus using your back. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see a ton of people do, and whenever I snow shovel, that's what I have to remind myself of, because that's just too much strain on our back, and our legs are meant to be locked on for a reason, right? We're supposed mm-hmm. to lift with our legs for an inherent reason. We don't walk on our arms for a specific purpose. So please use those legs, use what God gave us, and just work, try and put in that little extra effort so that way it saves your back later down the road.
Yes. Great tips to share. And sometimes we get those little reminders when we're shoveling that, oh, okay, I might not be doing that quite right. I mm-hmm. need to adjust. But we definitely want to keep people from getting injury and just use the proper technique. As Addison shared, use your legs when you're scooping snow. Okay, let's go into home safety. What recommendations do you have for keeping walkways safe at home?
Yeah, Lori, you already touched on this a little bit. As meaningfully as you walk in, you know, it starts with cleaning your shoes, making sure those are nice and dry, making sure you have a good dry carpeted surface you can kind of dry that off on, because, you know, people, when they have their entranceway, maybe it's a slicker floor than, you know, your kitchen area. Sometimes those kitchen tiles are pretty slick too mm-hmm. as well, though. Number one is make sure if you do need an assistive device, this means like a cane or a walker, I know you're in the house more, still use it, right? Because if you take that one wrong step, you end up in the hospital here, and we end up telling you, hey, why did you not use your walker or your cane? And they're like, well, it was just convenient, right? So try not to do something for convenience sake. Do it the proper way, do it the right way, so that way, you know, you're safest, but you're also ensuring that you are protecting yourself from yourself sometimes.
Yes, we want to keep you safe and healthy. We do know falls do happen. If someone does fall, what should they do, Addison?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one is make sure if you need to call 911, you call 911, right? So even if it's a 50-50, I would 100% recommending doing that, right? At least going to the emergency department just to make sure you're cleared for that. If you know you don't want to do that, physical therapy, we're direct access providers. That means you do not need a physician script to come get an evaluation. So if you fall and you don't want to get that expense from the emergency department, you can come to us as well, and we can do an evaluation, whether that's for screening for balance, screening for strength, screening for low back pain that we see a lot after a fall, or whether that's the foot or the shoulder that gets injured. And then we can kind of go next steps from there. So all those things are super important to do. Obviously, first aid is the most important in those situations, making sure we don't have something more serious. So looking for those signs and symptoms, you know, that are very much related to concussion that you'll mm-hmm. often see with falls, you know, that dizziness, that double vision, lightheadedness, you know, having that trouble transitioning from sitting to standing or lying down to sitting up. Those are all kind of signs that, hey, maybe we need to go see, or maybe even things like more serious, like slurred speech, are things that we need to get addressed right away. So all those things are super important.
Great tips. Thank you for sharing, Edison. Now, I know that you work with people on preventing injuries before they happen. So let's talk a little bit about preventive care. What helps improve balance, and what would you share with our listeners about possibly reducing their fall risk?
Right. And, you know, with physical therapy, we obviously work a ton with balance and falls, post-falls, especially whether that's strength-related, whether that's balance-related, or just figuring out, you know, tertiary strategies, working around your deficits that you have vision-wise, proprioceptive-wise, or sensation-wise. You know, all those things are sometimes you just cannot avoid getting out of your own way. So we just gotta figure out a strategy to do that. But number one, with physical therapy, we obviously want to identify the deficits that you do have. So when you come in, we do a full thorough evaluation, so we see what we need to address, and we do a thorough strength evaluation for you every time you come in. Regardless, we also usually do a balance test if you're post fall, especially, you know, we will do that. But if you're having some unsteadiness on feet, we'll address that. But also, number one is taking a look at how you walk. You know, that's a big thing that relates to the likelihood of you having a fall, is mm-hmm. having a compensated gait pattern. So we do take a look at that, and that gives us an insight in terms of what your weaknesses are. So all those things we do take a look at in terms of addressing your balance and reduce your fall risk. But things that you can do is get on a more regular strength program. That means whether you're not, you go to the gym, maybe doing some sitting up and sitting down from the couch, doing some exercises between your TV shows during commercial breaks, you know, whether that or reading a book. You know, every time, I told one of my patients, every time you flip a page in a book, you just do a couple of ankle pumps just to get the blood flowing a little bit, so that way we're maintaining during the day, because, you know, we are kind of more sedentary during mm-hmm. that time, and it's very understandable. You know, it's hard to have bad weather out there and not feel the best, you know.
Yes.
So exercise is proven, though, to combat things like depression. So, and it helps maintain our strength levels, helps maintain our blood flow, and improves our self-esteem and reduces our feeling of isolation. So all those things are super important to do, and that's why I say, you know, just try and stay as active as you can, be proactive, and don't wait and put it off. Try and address what you can now, and get on a strength program and stay ahead of the curve with that.
Great advice. And I love that you say that, whether someone's reading a book or they're watching a TV show, maybe it's, as you mentioned, turning a page or between programs. Maybe you're doing some heel raises, maybe doing standing up, sitting down, maybe doing some squats, ankle pumps, just right. to get blood flowing and keep that circulation going. Just some good tips that people can do in the convenience of their own home.
Right. Absolutely.
Great. Before we wrap up, Edison, what's the one takeaway you want to share with listeners to remember for this winter?
Yeah, absolutely. And my number one takeaway for everyone out there is put yourself first and be proactive about your situation. So that means whether you're sedentary, whether you're still young and active, get on a strength program, number one. Make sure that, you know, you're addressing all the deficits that you see. You know, maybe you notice, hey, I'm not the most steady. Make sure you reach out to physical therapy. Like I said, we're primary access providers. That's what we're there for. You know, if we just determine it's just the evaluation just to give you some tips on what to do at home, we're there for you in terms of that. But in addition to that, you know, just making sure all the clutter is clear in the home, trying to control the closed environment as much as possible is very, very important. And then in addition to that, just taking that extra time, you know, it's the holiday season. We do have that extra time. So please take it to take care of yourself and address all your body, not just, you know, your physical, but also that mental state, right? Making sure that you don't fall into those things like depression and everything like that, because it's very easy during this time of year to do that. So being active during that time is even more important, right? So taking those little things, taking that time to take care of yourself is very important. I urge all the listeners today to do so.
Gosh, Edison, so very well said. Thank you so much for being on the program today. For more safety winter tips, or if you have questions, want to schedule an appointment with our terrific physical therapy team at Van Deese Medical Center, you can call their department. It is 515-832-7735. We certainly hope everyone will stay safe out there. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks for being with us today, Edison.
Thank you.
And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.